Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord and welcome. This is Amazing Grace Extraordinary Truth Ministries, and I am your host, Elder Lydia Topa. It is so good to have you with me once again for this episode of A Year in the Word. Amen. We're reading from today, 1 Chronicles chapters 10 through 14. 1 Chronicles 10 through 14. Amen. To the glory of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you as humbly as we know how, thanking and praising you, Lord God, for every miracle, Lord God, that you've worked on our behalf. We thank you, Lord, for life, health, and strength. We thank you, Lord God, because you are God, the only living God. You are the true and the living God. You are the almighty, the all-seeing, the all-knowing, the omnipresent God. And we give you glory and we give you praise this morning. We thank you, Lord God, for the things that you have done. We thank you, Lord God, for your mercy and your grace. We thank you, Lord God, that you are moving in ways that we cannot see and we do not know. Because you love us, you're removing things and you're adding things to us daily, Lord God, because you love us. Oh, God, and we give you glory and we give you praise. We thank you, Lord God, and we honor you. We honor you this morning, Lord God. I honor you this morning, Lord God. I honor you, Lord, because you are, Lord, hallelujah. Oh, my God, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord God, and I bless you, and I bless your name. Lord, move even right now, Lord, as we go forth in the reading of the word, and we're asking, Lord God, that you bless every word that is read, Lord God, bless every word that is heard. Open our minds and our hearts to receive knowledge, to receive wisdom, and to receive understanding today. Bless, Lord God, heal and deliver. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, send us revelation from on high that we might gain the understanding and even understanding that we need to go forth through our life right now. Oh, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, I pray, move, Lord. Move right now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And help us going forward, Lord, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My apologies. Oh, my goodness. Amen. We are reading from 1 Chronicles chapters 10 through 14. Amen. Please bear with me. I am having some difficulty with my voice today. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you. Amen. But God is still God. Amen. And he still deserves the honor and the praise. He is still God. Amen. And he's still healing. He's still making ways for us. He's still breaking us through and breaking us out. Glory to God. He's still God. He never changes. Amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. We're reading from 1 Chronicles 10 through 14 from the New King James Version of the Word of God. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell slain at Mount Gilboa. Then the Philistines followed hard after Saul and his sons, and the Philistines killed Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua, Saul's son. The battle became fierce against Saul. The archers hit him, and he was wounded by the archers. Then Saul said to his armor bearer, "Draw your sword and thrust me through with it, lest these uncircumcised men come and abuse me." But his armor bearer would not do it, for he was greatly afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell on it. And when his armor-bearer saw that Saul was dead, he also thought and died. So Saul and his three sons died, and all his household died together. And when all the men of Israel who were in the valley saw that they had fled, that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook their cities and fled. Then the Philistines came and dwelt in them. So it happened the next day, that when the Philistines came to strip the slain, that they found Saul and his sons fallen on Mount Gilboa. And they stripped him and took his head and his armor and sent word throughout the land of Philistines to proclaim the news in the temple of their idols and among their people. Then they put his armor in the temple of their gods and fastened his head in the temple of Dagon. And when all of Jabesh-Gilead heard all that the Philistines had done to Saul. All the valiant men arose and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons, and they brought them to Jabesh and buried their bones under the tamarisk tree in Jabesh and fasted 7 days. So Saul died for his unfaithfulness, which he had committed against the Lord. He did not keep the word of the Lord, and also because he consulted a medium for guidance. But he did not inquire of the Lord. Therefore he killed him and turned the kingdom over to David, the son of Jesse. Then all Israel came together to David at Hebron, saying, "Indeed, we are your bone and your flesh. Also in time past, even when Saul was king, you were the one who led Israel out and brought them in. The Lord your God said to you, 'You shall shepherd my people Israel and be ruler over my people Israel.' Therefore all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord. And they anointed David king over Israel, according to the word of the Lord by Samuel. And David and all of Israel went to Jerusalem, which is Jabesh, where the Jebusites were, the inhabitants of the land. But the inhabitants of Jabesh said to David, 'You shall not come in here.' Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, that is, the city of David. Now David said, 'Whoever attacks the Jebusites first shall be chief and captain.' And Joab, the son of Zeruiah, went up first and became chief. Then David dwelt in the stronghold. Therefore they called it the city of David. And he built the city around it from the Milo to the surrounding area, city. So David went on and became great, and the Lord of hosts was with him. Now these were the heads of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom, with all Israel, to make him king according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. And this is the number of the mighty men whom David had: Joash-Biam, the son of Hakmonite, chief of the captains. He had lifted up his spear against 300 and killed by him at one time. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ohahite, who was one of the three mighty men. He was with David at Pasdanim. Now there the Philistines were gathered for battle, and there was a piece of ground full of barley. So the people fled from the Philistines, but they stationed themselves in the middle of that field, defended it, and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. Now the three of the 30 chief men went down to the rock to David into the cave of Adullam, and the army of the Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. David was then in the stronghold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David said with longing, "Oh, that someone would give me drink of water from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." So the three brothers drew water from the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, David would not drink it, but poured it out to the Lord. And he said, "Far be it from me, O my God, that I should do this. Shall I drink the blood of these men who have put their lives in jeopardy? For at the risk of their lives they brought it." Therefore, he would not drink it. These things were done by these three mighty men. Abishai, the son of Joab, was chief of another three. He had lifted up his spear against 300 men, killed them, and won a name among these three. Of the three, he was more honored than the other two. Therefore, he became their captain. However, he did not attain to the first three. Benaiah was the second of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man from Kabzeel, who had done many deeds. He had killed two lion-like heroes of Moab. He also had gone down and killed a lion in the midst of a pit on a snowy day, and he killed an Egyptian, a man of great height, 5 cubits tall. In the Egyptian's hand there was a spear like a weaver's beam, and he went down to him with a staff, rested
the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and killed him with his own spear. These things Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, did and won a name among three mighty men. Indeed, he was more honored than the 30, but he did not attain to the first three. And David appointed him over his guards. Also, the mighty warriors were Asahel, the brother of Joab, Elhanan, the son of Dodo of Bethlehem, Shemoth, the Horathite, Pelez, the Pelonite, Ira, the son of Akish, the Tekite, Abiezer, the Anathothite, Shepsai, the Hushathite, Eli, Mahari, the Netophite, Peled, the son of Bana, the Netophite, Ethai, the son of Ribai, the of Gibeah, the sons of Benjamin, Benaiah, the Pirathite, Huri, of the brooks of Cash, Abiel, the Arbathite, Esmaveth, the Baharumite, Eliabah, the Shalbanite, the sons of Hashem, the Harathite, Ahiam, the son of Sakar, the Harathite, Eliphel, the son of Hefer, the son of Mekatzah, Ahijah, the Palathite, Hezro, the Carmelite, Neri, the son of Esbai, Joel, the brother of Nathan, Mibhar, the son of Hagri, Zelek, the Ammonite, Harari, the Perathite, the armor-bearer of Joab, the son of Zeruah, Ira, the Ithrite, Gareb, the Ithrite, Uriah, the Hittite, Zebad, the son of Eli, Adina, the son of Sheza, the Reubenite, a chief of the Reubenites, and 30 with him. Hanan, the son of Micah, Josaphat, the Mithnite, Uzziah, the Ashrathite, Shama, and Jael, the sons of Hatham, the Ararite, Zadiah, the son of Shimri, and Johab, his brother, the Tissite, Eliel, the Mosbite, Jeribai, and Josabah, the sons of Elnam, Isma, and the Moabite, Eliel, Obed, and Jaziel, the Now these were the men who came to David at Ziklag while he was still a fugitive from Saul, the son of Kish. And they were among the mighty men, helpers in war, armed with bows, using both the right hand and the left in hurling stones and shooting arrows with the bow. They were of Benjamin, Saul's brethren. The chief was Ahiezer, then Joash, the sons of Shema, the Gibbethite, Jeziel, the Pelet, the sons of Esmaveth, Barashah, and Jehu, the Anathite, Ishmaiah, the Gibeonite, a mighty man among the 30 and over the 30, Jeremiah, Jehaziel, Johanan, and Jezebed, the Gedariahite, Eluzai, Jeremoth, Bealiah, Shemariah, and Shephiah. Shephathiah, the Hurathite, Elkanah, Ezrael, Jozer, and Joshabim, the Korathite, and Jola and Jebiah, the sons of Jeroam of Geder. Some Gadites joined David at the stronghold in the wilderness, mighty men of valor, men trained for battle, who could handle shield and spear, whose faces were like the faces of lions, who were as swift as gazelles on the mountains. Ezer the first, Obadiah the second, Eliab the third, Mishmana the fourth, Jeremiah the fifth, Ittai the sixth, Eliel the seventh, Johanan the eighth, Ezebad the ninth, Jeremiah the tenth, Mechbani the 11th, These were from the sons of Gad, captains of the army. The least was over 100, and the greatest was over 1,000. These are the ones who crossed the Jordan in the first month, when it had overflowed all its banks. And they put to flight all those in the valleys, to the east and to the west. Then some of the sons of Benjamin and Judah came to David at the stronghold. And David went out to meet them and answered and said to them, "If you have come peaceably to me to help me, my heart will be united with you. But if to betray me to my enemies, since there is no wrong in my hands, may the God of our fathers look and bring judgment." Then the Spirit came upon and said, "We are yours, O David. We are on your side, O son of Jesse. Peace, peace be to you, and peace to your helpers, for your God helps you." So David received them and made them captains of the troops. And some from Manasseh defected to David when he was going with the Philistines to battle against Saul. But they did not help them, for the lords of the Philistines sent him away by agreement, saying, "He may defect to his master Saul and endanger our heads." When he went to Ziklag, those of Manasseh who defected to him are Adonah, Jozabad, Jediel, Michael, Jozabad, Elihu, and Zilthai, the captains of the thousands who were with Manasseh. And they helped David against the bands of raiders, for they were all mighty men of valor, and they were captains in the army. For at that time they came to David day by day to help him, until it was a great army, like the army of God. Now these were the numbers of the divisions that were equipped for war, and came to David at Hebron to turn over the kingdom of Saul to him, according to the word of the Lord, of the sons of Judah, bearing shield and spear, 6,800 armed for war, of the sons of mighty men of valor, fit for war, 7,100, of the sons of Levi, 4,600, Jehoiada, the leader of the Aaronites, and with him 3,700, Zadok, a young man, a valiant warrior, and from his father's house 22 captains of the sons of Benjamin, relatives of Saul, 3,000 until then, the greatest part of them had remained loyal to the house of Saul. And of the sons of Ephraim, 20,800 mighty men of valor, famous men throughout their father's house. Of the half-tribe of Manasseh, 18,000 who were designated by name to come and make David king. And of the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, their chiefs were 200, and all of their brethren were at their command. Of Zebulun, there were 50,000 who went out to battle, expert in war with all weapons of war, stout-hearted men who could keep ranks, and of Naphtali, 1,000 captains, and with them 37,000 with shear and spear. Of the Danites who could keep battle formation, 28,600. Of Asher, those who could go out to war, able to keep battle formation, 40,000. Of the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh from the other side of the Jordan, 120,000 armed for battle and with every kind of weapon of war. All these men of war who could keep ranks came to Hebron with a loyal heart to make David king over all of Israel. And all the rest of Israel were of one mind to make David king. And they were there with David 3 days, eating and drinking, for their brethren had prepared for them. Moreover, those who were near to them from as far away as Issachar and Zebulun and Naphtali, food on donkeys and camels and on mules and oxen, provision of flour and cakes of figs and cakes of raisins, wine and oil and oxen and sheep abundantly, for their joy was in Israel. Then David consulted the captains of the thousands and hundreds, and with every leader. And David said to all the assembly of Israel, "If it seems good to you, and if it is of the Lord our God, let us send out to our brethren everywhere who are left in all the land of Israel, and with them to the priests and Levites who are in their cities and their common lands, that they may gather together to us. And let us bring the ark of our God back to us, for we have not inquired at it since the days of Saul." Then all the assembly said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. So David gathered all of Israel together from Shinar to Egypt to as far as the entrance of Hamath to bring the ark of God to Kirjath-Jearim. And David and all of Israel went up to Baala to Kirjath-Jearim, which belonged to Judah, to bring up from there the ark of God, the Lord, who dwells between the cherubim, where his name is proclaimed. So they carried the ark of God on a new cart from the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drove the cart. Then David and all Israel played music before God with all their might, with singing on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, on cymbals, and with trumpets. And when they came to Chidon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and he struck him because he put his hand to the ark, and he died there before God. And David became angry because the Lord's outbreak against, therefore that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of God that day, saying, how can I bring the ark of God to me? So David would not move the ark with him into the city of David, but took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. The ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months, and the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. Now Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David and cedar trees with masons and carpenters to build him a house. So David knew that the Lord had established him as king over Israel, for his kingdom was highly exalted for the sake of all of his people Israel. Then David took more wives in Jerusalem, and David begot more sons and daughters. And these are the names of his children whom he had in Jerusalem: Shammua, Shobab, Nate Solomon, Ibhar, Elishua, Elphalet, Nuga, Napheg, Japhia, Elishama, Beliada, and Eliphalet. Now when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over all of Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David, and David heard of it and went out against them. Then the Philistines went and made a raid on the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of God, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said to him, go up, for I will deliver them into your hand. So they went up to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. Then David said, God has broken through my enemies by my hand like a breakthrough of water. Therefore they called the name of that place Baal Perazim. And when they left their gods there, David gave a commandment, and they were burned with fire. Then the Philistines once again made a raid on the valley. Therefore David inquired again of God, and God said to him, you shall not go up after them. Go around them and come upon them in front of the mulberry trees. And it shall be when you hear a sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then you shall go out to battle, for God has gone out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines. So David did as God commanded, and they drove back the army of the Philistines from Gibeon as far as Gezer. Then the fame of David went out into all the lands, and the Lord brought the fear of him upon all the nations. I have read and you have heard from 1 Chronicles chapters 10 through 14. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and most of all the doers of his word, and sanctify the truth in all of our hearts in the mighty name of Jesus. God bless you and God keep you. God anoint you in Jesus' name. Amen. I leave with you today this word that Jesus is coming soon. Amen. He is the Lord. Amen. The only Lord and Savior. The only living God. He is the one who wrapped himself in flesh and dwelt among each and every one of us. He came down through 42 generations because he loved us so dearly and so clearly, amen, that he sacrificed his own life, amen, because the animals were not a perfect sacrifice, only one that had no sin, no blemish at all, nothing against them at all, only one that was completely perfect could be that sacrifice. Amen. One that was without sin. Glory to God. Without sin. Amen. Jesus went to the cross for each and every one of us. And he sacrificed his life. He laid down his life. Every sin that we have ever committed throughout all of humanity was thrust upon him in that hour. At that moment, every sin ever committed or ever to be committed was thrust upon him. That's why I know he is our Savior even right now. Because he took all of our sin. He took all of our guiltiness, and all sin is worthy of death. He took our sin. He took our place in death, because all sin is worthy of death. What we consider to be big sin, what we consider to be small sin, what we consider to be not even significant sin, all sin is worthy of death. And Jesus, he paid it all on the cross that day. And he rose up with power in his hands. Power, amen, to power of death, hell, and the grave. He rose up with all those keys, having slain them all. Amen. And he sent back to us his spirit, that we might be partakers of the same. Amen. This is a gift that Jesus has for each and every one of us. It is a gift to be saved. It is a gift to be in relationship with the Lord. I have said it over and over again throughout this series that we were always, always intended to be in relationship with the God of the universe. Sin is what separated us. But now we have an opportunity, because Jesus took our sin to come and receive the gift of God, to receive his salvation, to receive his spirit upon us. Amen. So that we can live a holy life, an upright life, so that we can be in relationship once again with the God of the universe. This gift is for each and every one of us, all of us. All you must do is repent, turn away from your sin, and receive the gift of God. Begin to call upon his name, Jesus. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. His name is Jesus. And he is knocking on the door of your heart, beckoning you to open and receive the gift that he has laid out before you. Amen. This gift is yours today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is today, this day. Amen. The Lord is here to bless you. The Lord is here to heal you. The Lord is here to break through, amen, your situation. The Lord is here to rectify. Glory to God. He is here, glory to God, to make things right for you and for all of your family. God bless you today. Say yes to the Lord. His name is Jesus, and his word says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Now, I know we hear people mocking the name of the Lord and calling his name, but you know what that means when it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. He's talking about those that are truly calling upon him, not just mocking his name. The Lord does know the difference. He is God after all. Amen. Humble your heart today and receive Jesus. We need him in this day and in this hour, in this time in history, when we're watching all these horrible things take in humanity and wondering where is the good people? Where are those that are calling on God? Where are those that favor life? Where are those that love their neighbor? Where are those that love God? Where are those that believe that life is precious and valued, and that every person under the sun has value? Where are they? Oh, I'm telling you, they are the chosen ones. They are the ecclesia. They are the ones, amen, that the Lord has called out from among the many. He chose a few to bring light to the many. Today, today I am showing you that light, the light of the world. And as dark as it seems so much of the time, Jesus is the light. Receive the light today so that you can light up that dark place where you are, so that others will come to know who the light is and have life through him, just as he's giving you in this hour. Say yes to the Lord. Jesus is the light of the world. He came to bring light into a place that was completely dark. He came to bring life into a place that was completely dead. And because of him, we have light and we have life through him. Because of him and him alone, not because of any good that we have done, not because of anything that we have said, because all of our sin is worthy of death and our righteousness is as filthy rags. But because we said yes to the gift of God and received his spirit on the inside, we now have received the righteousness of Christ and shows us how to love those that are unlovable. He teaches us how to walk in the light and not be a part of the darkness and yet bring the darkness into the light. The light dispels the darkness every time. Say yes to Jesus today. He's bringing you life. He's bringing you hope. He's bringing you peace. All of that comes with him. Say yes to Jesus today. Call upon his name. Call upon his name while he is near. He is near to you right now. Say yes to him. Amen. And he will change your life forever. And he will usher you into eternity. Amen. Amen. When the time is right. God bless you. God keep you and God anoint you in the mighty name of Jesus. I hope you will continue to join me in this journey through a year in the Word. Amen.